Now, for the young in heart and weak in the head, it's Round the Horn. The story so far, Inspector Bill Pertwee, he of the beetling brows and spidery legs, leant against the mantelpiece in the library at Mallory Grange and surveyed the company. His eyes darted round the room and rolled under the ottoman. Which was played by Hugh Paddock in a yashmak. Who was the murderer? Was it the butler, balding, bow-legged old Betty Marsden? Or perhaps the lovely Nubian belly dancer, Kenneth William? Suddenly the lights went out and he heard a sound the like of which no man had heard and lived. In an awful croak, the words rasped out.
Good evening, my name's Kenneth Horne. And welcome to Round the Horn. Well, here to begin with are the answers to last week's quiz. Question one, that was the sporting question. The answers were a hole in one, a hole in two, and a cigarette burn in the other. The answer to question two, well, of course, the odd man out was Edwin Braden. The others, of course, are washable. By the way, Edwin Braden has taken over the baton from Paul Fenelay on this show. We hope that in time he'll learn to use it. So for the rest of this series, we shall be seeing Edwin on the podium.
Many times. Many times.
Thank you. Now, finally, the question on etiquette. The answer was in three parts as follows. Not with your fingers. You shouldn't in the bath. And yes, if you feel you really must, but you get crumbs in the bed. Which attracts the birds. All right. Well, now, today marks the anniversary of that eminent Victorian bird fancier, Nemesis Fothergill, known perhaps better to ornithologists and the police as the Birdman of Potter's Bar. He first achieved prominence when he discovered Trustpot's yellow-black cornpaw, for which Trustpot had been looking for weeks. Shortly after this, he was the first man to record the cry of the lesser spotted willow warbler, so called because it has less spots than other willow warblers. This bird usually emits a sound resembling chuk 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 wit wit. I'll repeat that. Chuk 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 wit wit. But during the mating season, it changes to chuck-a-chuck, chuck-a-chuck. Well, I suppose during the mating season he'd have more to be happy about, wouldn't he? Perhaps Nemesis was best known for his experiments in cross-breeding. Being short-sighted, this led to some surprising results, as witness Fothergill's lesser-spotted flying fox terrier. A species which is almost extinct, fortunately. I mean, it's a bit unnerving to find a bird scratching at the door and barking to go walkies. But certainly his most successful venture in this field was to produce a turkey with six legs for large families who each wanted a drumstick. The experiment was a great success, but unfortunately, he could never catch the blighters. Well, there you are. Don't say I never tell you anything. Now, we come to the spot in the show where we pay tribute to the backroom boys of the BBC. All right. This week, the audience research department. Now, the people who go from door to door finding out what you, the public, want to hear or see. Last week, I went out with one of the BBC's highly trained investigators to see how it was done.
Well, you see, Mr. Horne, we just take a typical street like this, and then we go from door to door asking questions and filling out this questionnaire. You take this side of the road and I'll take the other.
Right, I'll try this house first.
You the sanitary?
No.
The HP?
No.
The council?
No.
Ned, it's the law! You're not taking my Neddy away from me! He's a good boy! Don't send him back to that place!
Look, I only wanted to ask you a few questions.
You're right? Ned! To take the stuff back to the supermarket, honest, Archie. Them tins of salmon must have just fell off the shelf and slipped down me bloomers. honest, I didn't realise till I got back here. Oh, I hadn't been well. I'd
away from me. You're not taking my money. You don't take my money. What become of me? What become of me if you take my money? Oh, my money. Don't get money. No, you mustn't. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get a job.
One. Now, calm yourself, isn't he? I'm trying to explain, but it's very difficult to be coherent with you belaboring me about the knees with a pickaxe handle.
Stop it, Neddy, or you'll get done for grievous bodily. Constable. If I turn Queen's evidence against my Neddy, will it go easier for me? Don't let them send me back to that place!
I don't want to send anyone anywhere. I'm just conducting an inquiry on behalf of the BBC into people's viewing and listening habits.
Oh. Well, yes. Yeah, well, we feel that there's been too much violence on television.
So I tried at another house. Oh, good morning, Mr.
Gruntfuttock. Peas Mould Gruntfuttock. J. Peas Mould Gruntfuttock. Archbishop.
Archbishop?
Yes, well, it's a honorary title. You see, I give it to myself. It was the voices that told me. The voices, they told me, they talked to me, and they said, go forth, they said. Be the lay preacher at the Hellfire and Damnation Tabernacle. It's over the chip shop at Brixton. Do you know it?
Yes, yes. Yes, I know it quite well, actually. I thought it was a dance hall.
Ah, yes, it was. But it come to pass that the Philistines and their birds did cause a great... Philistines and their birds did cause a great unrest in the land, and verily the bogies did descend upon them, and did smite them hip and thigh, and sent them forth for a carpet of the wormwood scrubs. And then they did hire the place to the Brotherhood of a Friday, seeing as our Sundays was bingo. Come up and confess your sins one Friday, brother. You'll hear some smashing sins up there of a Friday after the pubs are closed. Oh, we spread the message of good cheer and hope.
What message is that?
We be doomed. We be all doomed. Doomed, I tell you.
I'm sure you will
I've
be,
got
yeah.
a touch of the doom.
I think you I should have a bit of a gargle if I were you with salicylic acid. What I really want to know is this. What do you want of an evening?
That building across the road with the easier binoculars. Oh, you should see the sin that goes on over there, brother. Oh, the lights burning all night. People creeping about in their night attire.
Look, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but it's the General Hospital.
Oh. Another illusion shattered.
Yes. Yes, very interesting, Mr.
Grantford.
Norman, is
yes,
it now?
Gothic. Yes.
Now, could you tell me, sir, something about your viewing habits?
Yes, I am, as you will have gathered, by vocation a peeping Tom. So, when any lissom young female comes on the screen, I shut the doors in front of the set immediately.
Why do you do that?
I like to watch through the keyhole.
So much then for the backroom boys. Now, Smith, put that hip flask of foot embrocation away and announce the next item.
Sorry, sir, it's purely medicinal.
Oh, your story.
Now, trends.
This is the part of the show for the jet set, as opposed to people of my age, the Sopwith Camel crowd. First, fashion.
Bosoms are out again.
Well, when they come in, will you tell them I called?
Swimwear. Two-piece bathing suits are out. and everybody's wearing one-piece costume.
Oh, really? Which piece?
Well, I always wear the bottom piece. It avoids complications.
Here's some inside news. Who was seen in a royal park wearing a one-piece woolen suit?
A sheep? Now, here are some travel trends. A few suggestions for with it holidays.
Sunny, cannibal-infested South Borneo beckons. I've never known anyone who's come back disappointed, but then I've never known anyone who has come back.
Or there's a fine choice of agricultural working holidays. You can go hopping in Kent.
Or even better, leaping about in Leicestershire. Or if you prefer... there's blackberry inn in Norfolk.
Muck spreading in Shropshire.
Or chicken sexing in Hampshire.
Finally, we come to trends in entertainment. Following the trend in pirate radio stations comes news of a new development. A German pirate TV station operating from a ship somewhere off the coast of Germany called the SS Himmler. Here is an excerpt from a typical quiz show.
This is Douglas Schmidt welcoming you to another session of that gemütliche quiz show, Double Your Phoenix. And here is your genial quiz master, Happy Heinrich Schnitzel.
Thank you. Danke schön und welcome to another session of Double Your Phoenix. Brunhilde, bring on the first contestant.
Ja, Herr Schnitzel.
Shining in love again, never want.
They're always playing so hard to get. What a girl. You know what her telephone number is? 999. Laugh again. All right. Now, we've had our little fun, and so on with the show.
Here is our first contestant, Herr Wilhelm Stumpf.
Well, Willie, and where are you from?
Well, Happy Honey, I'm from Düsseldorf.
How about that? A big hand for little Willie Stumpf from Düsseldorf. What? I can see we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. Brunhilde, your first question.
It is the question on music. For 100 Phoenix, who wrote the Emperor Concerto?
The Emperor.
No. Now, we think. Who wrote the Emperor Concerto?
I can't remember.
Oh, come, Willie. Oh, you can remember if you try.
No, I can't remember. I have these headaches, you see.
Now, for the last time, who wrote the Emperor Concerto?
I can't remember. How can I think with it twisting my arm?
Ah, yeah, ways of making you talk.
Oh, please, don't shine those lights in my eyes.
So. Please, let me talk to him. Hello, big boy.
Me?
I like you. Oh. When this is all over, we can go away somewhere together. Look, Willie, don't be a fool. Tell him what he wants to know. I know this Happy Heinrich. He'll stop at nothing to get what he wants.
But I don't know. I can't remember.
I have a little friend who might help to jog your memory.
No! No! Otto? Oh, not that sadistic subhuman giant you keep in the cellar.
Yeah. 10 minutes in the soundproof booth with Otto, I think we'll find we'll loosen your tongue. Well, for the last time. Who wrote the Emperor Concerto?
All right. Don't beat me anymore. I'll tell you. Just let me...
Give that to me. Just as I thought. A cyanide tablet. We're wise to that caper on W. Phoenix.
All right, you beat me, you inhuman fiend. You may have got me, but there's others all over the world. People are arming. Democracy is on the move. Yes, I tell you. Why shouldn't I tell you? Your days are numbered, Happy Heinrich. Numbered. The skies are dark over Europe now. But there in the West, the dawn is breaking. Yes, Uncle Sam is girding up his loins. His loins, I tell you, his loins. He's girding them up. His loins. Beethoven. It was Beethoven. Oh, I knew all the loins. Beethoven wrote the Emperor Concerto.
Oh, well done, Willie. Now, would you like to go on for the next question?
No, I'll stick there.
Now, will you take the money or open the lucky box 13? Remember, it may contain a high-powered car, a transistor radio, or it may be the booby prize. Well, what should he do?
Open the box! Open the box!
I decided to open the box.
What the sportsman? Now, here's the key. Come over here. Yeah. Turn around. Yeah. Now, see what Frau Locke has in store for you.
Oh, it's just what I've always wanted. It's a love.
Oh, well, the boss has beaten us. Come back next week when there'll be 300 pfennigs in the jackboot. Now,
well, that's one contestant who won't be back next week. Now,
ladies and gentlemen, the Fraser Hayes Ball.
In every job that must be done, there is an element of fun. You find the fun and snap, the job's a game. And every task you undertake becomes a piece of cake, a lark, a spree. It's very clear to see that a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down, wow, medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in the most delightful way. A robin feathering his nest has very little time to rest while gathering his bits of twine and twig. Though quite intent in his pursuit, he has a merry tune to toot. He knows a song will move the job along. For a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down, medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in the most delightful way.
The nectar from the flowers to the comb never tire of ever buzzing to and fro, because they take a little sip from every flower that they nip, and hence they find
their task is not a grind. For a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down, the medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Now, a tribute to one of the world's ace crime fighters.
It's Horn's Law.
Why, Captain Horn, you play a mean game of strip poker. Okay, kid. I'll see you. What have you got?
Well, I've got three kings and Mr. Bun the baker.
I've got a full house.
Oh.
Your turn to take something off.
Oh, right. Now, what should it be, my galoshes or my balaclava?
Don't tantalize me. Captain, you drive me to distraction.
No, you drive. I'm tired. No. Careful, you're crushing my carnation. Captain Horn, homicide and cars washed. What? What? I'll be over right away.
Something wrong?
No, Edwin Braden's disappeared. They suspect murder.
Oh, well, so long as it's not bad news.
Well, Captain, what happened was this, you see. It was during the rehearsals for Around the Horn. Braden went out to the pub for a quick drink, never came back.
But from what I've heard, that's quite usual.
Have you checked all his usual haunts?
Yeah, we checked the Amelia Fulbright home for down-and-out Laskers, and they say his bed hasn't been slept in. Then we tried his club, the Ginger Camel in Soho, but he hadn't tried to cash a check there for days.
Mm. Have you tried the YWCA?
Well, surely he's not a member.
No, but I've often seen him hanging about outside. Now, the Ginger Camel, you say?
Yeah, he was friendly with a girl in the show there, Miss Exotica.
Oh, good. I'll pop over there and make some inquiries.
Entrez.
Miss Exotica?
Oui, that is so. I don't recognize you.
Captain Horn, police.
Well, why didn't you say so, Jerry?
Oh. Well, Miss Exotica now.
Lil,
yes. Well, I'm inquiring about Edwin Braden. Did you know him?
Oh, yes. The Major. What about him?
He's disappeared.
Good job, too. I was a decent, respectable girl till I met him. He's no good. He's low and deceitful and rotten and depraved. And I hate his guts. Here, I hope nothing's happened to him. You know, he may have been a rotter, but he was all mine. Oh, Captain, you didn't know him like I did. No, when he'd take you in his arms and press you against him and kiss you passionately, oh, you don't know what it was like.
No, but I'll take your word for it.
Captain, it was like the 4th of July and Christmas and Thanksgiving all rolled into one.
You know, from what I've heard of Braden, I should have thought it was more like Halloween.
I trusted him, but he lied to me. He said he liked my act with the snake. He said he'd get me on zoo time, but he never did, Captain. All he did was knit me snake and flog it to an handbag manufacturer. What kind of man is that, Captain? I'm having to do my act with the length of those pipes. Tell me, where's the exotic Eastern mystery in the length of those pipes?
Well, it's about halfway down to the left, I think.
I did not kill him.
But have you any idea who might have? Did he have any enemies?
Well, let me think. There was Harry, the trombone player in the Hornblower. He hated Eddie.
Well, where could I find this Harry?
He hangs out at a soft beet sandwich bar near Archer Street.
Yeah, he was uncool, that Braden cat. He bugged me, Dig.
He bugged your Dig? I don't quite get this, sir.
No, man, you putting me on.
No.
Like, what I mean is, he was my connection, you know. He like, turned me on to the salt beef sandwiches, like. Till it become like an addiction, Dick. You don't know how it starts, do you? I mean, you like, have a puff at a gherkin just for kicks. One day you wake up in a cold sweat. You've got to have the salt beef sandwich. With mustard. Now look at me, man. I've got a salt beef monkey on me back. No good trying to get it off. Yeah, like, I knew Braden, but I never killed him, like.
But you had a motive.
Oh, yeah, baby, but so did everybody else. The writers of the show, they hated him. He was blackmailing them. He knew they was receiving stolen jokes and passing them off as their own. Yes, Captain, you should see the writers.
Are you the two writers?
Yeah, I'm Julian. This is my friend Sam.
Surely you're those two out-of-work actors from Rent-A-Chap.
Yeah, so I've taken up script writing as a sideline use. Well, it's not a full week's work,
oh,
is it?
Right,
I mean, we do all types of writing, don't we?
We do all types.
Some could be versatile. Mm. You may have seen some of the things we've done. The Four Just Men, but only just. Then we wrote Ready, Steady, Whoops.
Why do you call it that?
Well, I hadn't intended to, but as I was typing the title, I broke my fingernail on the typewriter.
Scream the place down.
I can't even say it.
No. Suffers from hypochondria.
I do.
Where's Thimbles now?
You don't tell no lie.
I appreciate your problems, but I'm inquiring about the mysterious disappearance of Edwin Braden.
Oh, him, great airy fool.
Yes, that fits the description I have. Well, anyway, we believe that he's been foully slain, and all the evidence points to you two. You had the means, the motive, and the...
Captain Horn, something terrible has happened.
Good heavens, what?
Take a grip of yourself, sir. We found Edwin Braden.
Dead?
Worse. Alive.
Okay, Captain, it's your call.
Well, I'll raise you a woolly sock.
I'll raise you a pair of nylons.
A Fair Isle pullover and my braces.
Oh, you're playing for high stakes, Captain. If you win this hand, it means I'm left with practically nothing on.
All right, then. In that case, I'll see you. That's Horn's Law. That's all for today. We'll be back with another edition of Round the Horn next week. Cheerio. See you next week.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horn, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, and Bill Pertwee. On the musical side, you heard the Fraser Hayes Four and Edwin Braden and the Hornblowers. The script was written by Barry Took and Marty Feldman and produced by John Simmons.